Well, we need, you know, I don't know how Brian has any shoes on after that sermon. He did not, they're still there. They haven't been worn out. Praise the Lord for that message. I see the boys sitting here today, and I, as a dad, I'm just so grateful they've been here to hear preaching like this and be together worshiping with you men. And I remember that impact that had on me as a boy in church, and just been sweet. I'd like to make a little bit of a plug here for something that I found helpful. Mark, Sonny, where are you at? You do the same Bible reading plan that we do. We use the Guthrie day-by-day chronological plan, but this is the Bible that actually puts it in print. So you can just go page day-by-day with it. And he sets up each reading for you briefly and asks one question to consider before you read. And this morning, reading about the Shunammite woman and Elisha and seeing God's grace to the humble again. Just daily getting in this is so helpful. And the readings aren't too long. And I just want to, you can get this paperback version of it very inexpensively. And it's got, you know what's great about it? It has these great wide margins. So you can make notes and pray. And we're going to talk about prayer now, but it's helpful to always pray with God's word. It helps guide our prayers daily. So if you want to know more about this Bible, I'd be happy to talk to you about it, how it's been very helpful to my walk. And I hope to get more and more of our members reading God's word throughout the year. All right? Let me pray for our time together. Let's pray. Lord, how much our hearts have been helped to be reminded of the peace you purchased for us at Calvary, enabling us, Lord, to be reconciled to you and to one another. And Lord, we've been deeply convicted by how quick we are to want to speak for you and slow to speak to you in prayer. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Lord, through the sermon, through your servant. And Lord, we've been convicted about the call to be holy and to be peaceful. Lord, how our hearts were warmed by the idea of thinking that our church could be filled with men who are prayerful, holy, and peaceful. How stark a contrast that would be to our watching world, and how glorifying to heaven, Lord, to you it would be. We pray you would produce that. Help us now in this panel, Lord, to be encouraging, to give things, Lord, that would edify one another now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First Timothy reminds believers how to get their church in order. Chapter 2, as we've been exhorted, deals with prayer time. Brothers, prayer can get derailed in our lives. I think we all know that, right? What are things we can do to help keep it on track? It's a different question. I wanted to put that in as he was preaching today. Things we can do that you have found to be helpful to put prayer back on track in your lives. It's going to be a number of answers here. You think with me for a minute. Things that we can do to get it back on track. All right? Right?
Get it back in track in my life or get it back in track of the church?
Oh, you can go. You can answer both. Yeah.
Just want
to let you preach.
No. Just for clarification, I want to know. I think, yeah, starting with me, something that was said last night, I think you said it, I believe, and maybe Mark said it as well, or somebody that wasn't me said it on the panel, is that we oftentimes we will lack to pray because we don't feel like praying when it's not. So prayer is not something that should be based on our feeling. So I try to exercise every day, and there are days when I don't feel like going on a run or taking a walk or what have you, and I tell myself, you know, in those times, well, if I just do it, and you'll be glad you did it afterwards. Prayer is infinitely more important than my physical exercise. It's a spiritual exercise, a spiritual discipline, And so whether or not I feel like doing it or not is a secondary thing. And so I just, it's a matter of holding oneself accountable. And then, and as we talked about last night, perhaps having a brother or somebody in the church or our wife, whatever, holding us accountable as well to prayer. So.
I think I agree. I think it's easy to forget that it is a spiritual discipline. I won't use the example of running because I don't run unless something is chasing me. Brothers, you brush your teeth, right? Because that's important. We hope. I have to tell myself, like, this has surely got to be more important than brushing my teeth, so I don't forget to brush my teeth in the morning. But it's a matter of establishing it as a discipline. So, like, whatever arguments pop into your mind, which are likely, you know, from hell, that would tell you, well, it's too hard. Okay, why? Well, sometimes I don't know what to pray for. I get up in the morning and I'm groggy. Okay, then come up with a list when you're not groggy, like, so that when you sit down, it will help you to focus. I don't have time. Get up a half hour earlier. Well, I'm too tired in the morning. Go to bed a half an hour earlier. I mean, is it important or not? If it is, you will make decisions. You will make choices that will allow you to do it.
I thought it was interesting. I actually preached on this verse week before last Sunday. And so I appreciate it, hearing what you said today, because it confirmed that, hey, I handled that passage right. So that was good. But one of the things I talked about when I was preaching on that is I tried to end the message by giving some practical application of saying, you know, these are three things that can get your prayer life where it needs to be. So it kind of gets to the point of your question, Garrett. And there are three things I talked about: a list, a place, and not giving up. I said, you know, you need to have a prayer list. You know, if you know, because there have been times in my own life where my prayers just kind of, you know, shotgun all over the place, and they're not focused at all. And that's because I'm not keeping a list. And so, you know, we can get our prayer life back online if we have a list that says these are the specific things that I'm praying for, and then there's a place. You know, we need to have a place. There's nothing sacred about a place. There's no command in Scripture that we have a place that we go to pray. But that's been a good practice for many saints over the years, that there is a place that they go to meet with God. Because if you have met with God somewhere before and had a genuine experience with Him, there's always an expectation that I can meet Him again there. And so if you go anticipating that I'm going to meet with God at this place because I've met Him there before, that will help to get your prayer life back in line. And then the last thing, it may seem basic, but it's true. It's, you know, we're going to mess up. You know, that's just the nature of who we are. We are going to mess up. And when that happens, just reboot and start over. Don't beat yourself up. You know, you haven't lost your salvation because your prayer life has started slacking. Just hit the reset button and start again. And that's really, you know, seems basic, but sometimes it's the basic things that we men forget about.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. It would have actually kind of got you. I just want to say, being clear about when you're not being faithful is really helpful. And what I mean by that, I was preaching through Matthew. This was a few years ago. I've been pastoring, right? And Jesus, you know, He has a little section, when you pray, you know, do not, you know, do public. But it was interesting. He says, the concept is when you practice your righteousness. He's talking about just practices they had that were righteous. And He says, when you pray, it wasn't like if you pray. It was just assumed that they prayed. And the Lord used it just to convict me of just tremendous deformity in my own discipleship, to where I had kind of operated. I liked praying occasionally. Not like I would only pray occasionally, but I really liked it occasionally. I knew I had to do it regularly. But I didn't have as a category, if I do not pray today, I was unfaithful. And I think it's helpful just to let you know when, you know, like, when do I eat too much? That's not, you don't always know. You know what I'm saying? You're like, okay, was three burgers was too much, right? But it was helpful for me just to be honest and say, hey, if I did not pray, if I did not seek the Lord today, I was not faithful. There's a lot of areas you can be unfaithful, but it kind of at least gave me a very practical daily thing to know. If I'm not seeking the Lord every day, if I haven't sought him today, I was not faithful in that regard today. And that gives kind of a quick, immediate, like, thing to repent of and to turn to. It's like, okay, how do you, repent of prayerlessness? Well, it's not like I'm going to spend the rest of my days always praying. It's like, that's not that helpful. But I can repent and say, I didn't seek him today. I'm going to seek him, I didn't seek him yesterday, excuse me. Because if it's still today, you can pray. But if you're like, hey, I didn't seek him yesterday, you can actually repent of that and seek the Lord right then. So that was just helpful for me. Yeah.
One more thing, Garrett. I thought three burgers was an appetizer, brother. Sliders. Yeah, sliders. Now, I thought about an illustration while both of the Bryans were talking, because I actually thought about this while Brian Sandifer was talking as well. And I can't remember the exact illustration, but it goes something like this. It was in a missionary context, and a missionary couple was getting ready to go overseas. And the wife was talking to the husband before they left, and they hadn't been married too long, and she was concerned about their relationship. Would it survive the cultural transitions and all that? And she told her husband, she said, I'm just worried. What if we get over there, and what if I no longer love you? What are we to do? We'll be all alone, but we're not in love. And he said, well, there's always obedience, and just be faithful to the marital vow. Because we made a vow before God. And, in a sense, prayer is a love relationship that we have with the Father. And, what if our heart's grown cold? What if our heart is not into wanting to pray? Well, there's always obedience. We just pray because it's the right thing to do. And you know what I've found out? Because there's been some times in my life where I'm praying, even though I don't want to pray. I'm fighting with thinking about the golf tournament that I want to be watching, or what happened, or the projects around the house that I got to do. Those are the things running through my mind and occupying my thoughts. But I'm still trying to pray. But as I'm obedient, the fire is relit and the passion returns. And so don't give up. It goes back to what I said earlier. You're gonna fall. You're gonna fail. Don't beat yourself up. Just hit the reset button and start again. And like the scripture says, draw near to God. And I think this is one you use, draw near to God, and he'll what? Draw near to us.
It's grown over the years, but I can, that sense of unfaithfulness that hits you when you have not prayed something that you should hope that happens in your heart. Whenever that happens now, I begin to feel this right sense of, like, not only have I not asked him for help over all things, I look at my wife and my kids who need my prayer. My wife's counting on me to be faithful to pray for her. I think of many of you in this room who've asked. I think about the times Brian has asked me to pray for his family, or Chris praying for his dad, just a number of things. And I'm like, yeah, I told them I'd pray. And I never regret when I spend time in prayer. And the Lord, I've asked the Lord to help me to pray. And you ever heard that saying, pray until you pray? Isn't that true, though? Once you may not have, it's like trying to start a diesel tractor on a cold morning. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Get that thing warmed up. But once you do, the momentum starts coming, and then you're like, I don't even know. When I started praying at some point, and I'm glad, and I'm enjoying my time with the Lord. And then it's time to pull up and go do something else. And you're like, I'm glad I spent that time in prayer. Boy, Spurgeon's boiler room. Wow. Man, that's where the heat comes from, brother. I'll never forget that. Let me ask you guys, what excites you about praying with your brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day? What excites you guys about praying with your brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day? I'll start with you, Brian.
So I remember when I was younger in the faith, and younger, obviously, in years as well, I got... when we had prayer meetings in the churches before I was a pastor, we have a prayer meeting, and I would get, so this is shame on me, I would get so bored during a prayer meeting. I'm like, man, you know, especially somebody that was going to pray for a long time, they're praying, and I'm like, okay, when is this person going to be done praying, is what was running through my mind. So what excites me now about prayer is I enjoy, because then I thought, well, Brian's praying right now. And I didn't think, I'm praying with Brian. I just thought, when is Brian going to be done? Instead of joining Brian in prayer. So I wanted, so now when somebody's praying, I'm eagerly listening and thinking about what they're praying and wanting to add my amen to their prayer. And so that's what's exciting. So when somebody prays now, I don't think that it's their prayer. I think of it as, well, they're the one voicing the prayer, but this is our prayer because we're gathered together today collectively now. So, you know, when you go in your prayer closet, that might be your prayer to God, but when we're praying or voicing a prayer in a public gathering, that's not your prayer. This is our prayer. So like almost some Robert's Rules of Order here when you have a public gathering, right, is that this belongs to all of us, and this is why it's important that we add our amen, if indeed you can add your amen to it, to say, yes, so amen. Be it. That's what I want, and so that's what excites me about praying publicly.
For me, I guess, in thinking about this, it's not, I think theologically it's fair to say that, like, the Lord can answer one person's prayer just as well as he could 30 people's prayers. So for me, I just want to sort of step back, like, and think about what excites me is the fact that, like, why do these people show up? Our church has a prayer meeting every Sunday night, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. And what excites me about it is just seeing, okay, these people, like, got back in their cars, came back to church to roll up their sleeves and do the work of prayer because they love Jesus, because they love these other people. And that is a real shot of encouragement to me. And to be frank, you know, the opposite is also true. I mean, I've heard people say, and there's some obvious truth to this, well, it doesn't matter how many people show up. You know, our job is just to be faithful. And I hear that, but, like, really? I shouldn't care whether there's 30 people or 3 people here? Like, that's, I shouldn't care why people are not motivated to gather with the saints and pray? Like, I've decided to be faithful to not gather. That shouldn't trouble me. It does, not because you all were here last night. You heard me say prayer is a Christian lifelong struggle for me. I get it. This is not coming out of condemnation. We should love the Lord and love each other, and when people are choosing faithfully to not gather to pray, the question should be why.
Amen. Thanks, Chris. What excites and encourages me is the variety and the learning opportunity. Just the variety, hearing the variety of the corporate body praying and the different people who pray whenever we gather together, and the learning opportunity that's there. You know, a lot of my prayer life has come because of how I've heard other people pray. And I learned to pray by hearing other people pray. And that's why we should pay attention and we should listen. And, just to hear, it excites me whenever, you know, we have a corporate time of prayer and I can hear people, you know, under their breath, yeah, yes, Lord, amen. And, you know, let that be, Lord. And, you know, sometimes even saying more than that, that encourages my soul. You know, some people might find that distracting. If they found that distracting, they should have been with me a little over a month ago. I had the privilege to preach at a Burmese church up in Catonsville, one of our BCMD churches. It was interpreted, and I remember, you know, it's time for prayer. I knew that, you know, I had the order in front of me, and, you know, so I knew that I was going right after the prayer. Well, the brother goes up to lead in prayer, and he says, let's pray. And he bows his head, he starts praying, and all of a sudden there's this cacophony. Everybody all over the congregation is praying out loud. I mean, and it was like, whoa, you know, I'm not used to that. And so that threw me for a loop. And so I had like 10 or 15 seconds of, this is crazy. And then I started listening. I'm like, Now, this is beautiful, is what this is. This is the people of God calling out to God corporately. And just what an awesome experience. The only other place I've experienced that is in the mission field on Mexico. When I went to Mexico for years, I would experience that. You know, whenever Pastor Jorge would say, you know, it's time to pray, everybody would start praying. And I remember we would take people. I learned after two or three trips, we better prepare our people for that because they'd be coming to me, what the heck was that? You know, what was going on? You know, because in our context, you know, when it's time for the elder to pray, the elder prays. And you might hear some of those amens or yes, you know, silently, quietly underneath, but you don't hear the whole cacophony. And that's just a beautiful thing to me. That encourages me greatly. On the negative side of that, you know, one thing that discourages me, and because I've experienced this, especially telling on my home church that I love, by the way, Leonardtown's like the best church in Southern Maryland, by the way. You think this one's great. I'm sure you think it's great, but Leonardtown's the best one. But it discourages me at Leonardtown whenever one of our elders stands up to pray and might pray for 5 to 7 minutes, and people are coming to me afterwards, why do they have to pray so long? Can't they just, you know, say the prayer and be done so we could get to the message or move on? I'm like, you can't pray for 5 minutes? You know, what if we have a hour prayer meeting? Are you going to die from that or what? You know, we're talking to God, people. Come on. It's, you know, 5 to 6 minutes is not too long for a corporate prayer. You know, this is not, you know, thank you, we can be here. Lord, bless our service. Amen. You know, that's not real corporate prayer. So I love that our elders spend time in serious communication with God on behalf of the body and pray about significant things and pray about multiple things. And it also reminds me to pray for our people who are struggling with that, you know, because they're the ones that are missing out.
Yeah, I found that when we have led prayer time in the service over the years, like you just pointed out, I'm not saying those people are this way, but sometimes it will highlight the nominal Christians who really are not, who've never been brought to, you know, grips with the fact that maybe they're just not born again. They're religious. But when you talk about, you know, genuine real Christianity and the things that are normal according to Scripture, they're strange to them. And may God use those prayer times and fervent, clear, Spirit-empowered preaching of the Word to bring them to life and conviction. I still haven't moved on past your wife's ABCs. Prayer, you have to teach me that sometime. I thought that was pretty neat. We can maybe come back to that. Let me ask a couple other questions here, and you might be able to go into it. What are the best prayer meetings, content, spirit, unity, you have been in, and why? Like, describe the best kind of prayer meeting. So we can see some that can go stale, some where, as Brian talked about, you can hear someone praying, and then you're like, when are they going to be done? And if you're praying like that publicly, stop it. If I could just, who's one of our favorite, Bob Newhart? You know, have you ever seen him just yell at somebody, stop it, that skit? Stop it. So thinking about the content, the spirit, and unity of a good prayer meeting, what are some things you've noticed?
Content and unity.
What waiver you have here?
Well, so I'm thinking of, so a prayer meeting, so one of the meetings that you and I regularly attend, a pastor's meeting in D.C., where a group of pastors from the, so Maryland, Virginia, D.C. area meet together, and we will spend a portion of that time in prayer, particularly, so when the prayer need is apparent. So a brother might say, you know, share something that's happening at his church, and then so somebody else will say, you know, Garrett, will you pray for brother so-and-so and what's happening at his church? And so the meeting that we're at is not specifically a prayer meeting, but the idea that we are concerned for those things that are obvious. And so if you were to transfer that, if you will, to a prayer meeting, is that it's not just a rehearsed list, but, you know, Sister so-and-so shows up, obviously grieved, obviously burdened by something, that we as a church would share in her grief and share in her burden by elevating that to the Lord God. And so that would be something. Yeah, so loving them well enough to do that.
Best ones are the ones, for me, are the ones with the most people. You know, see my last answer. It's just exciting to see people here. Secondly, the ones where the prayers are offered with concision, where we do not multiply useless words, as Jesus forbid us to do. Just get down to business and ask the Lord for what we need to ask him for. Like, we can pray for more things that way. And this one other thing I thought of was, a couple of times it's happened that we've had a person, I'm not thinking of a particular person, yes I am, we've had a person just basically ask for prayer regarding a specific sin struggle that they were walking through. And this, again, just what an encouragement to see that brother or sister stand up and just expose themselves in that way, because they knew they needed help from the Lord and they wanted us to pray for them and with them. And just what an, probably didn't think of it this way, but what an example that person was setting.
For me, the most encouraging prayer meetings are ones that are scripturally driven. We have a corporate prayer gathering at Leonardtown once a month on Sunday night. And I remember some years back when we started, it started off as a who's who in the hospital. Yeah, and we need to pray for people. We need to pray for sick people. We need to do that. That needs to be part of it. But that, you know, that runs out of draw quickly, you know, because I can do that at home. You know, we have email lists constantly going around with this person's sick, this person's going to Washington Hospital Center, you know, pray for this person who's facing this. So we do that throughout the week. But we quickly got together and said, look, we need to drive these prayer meetings based on God's word. And there is such a richness in the word of God, you know, related to prayer and how God speaks to certain things that can guide us in our praying. And so we've started guiding the prayer meetings around scripture. And so there'll be some scripture that's shared and that guides our praying. This reminds us to pray in this way. So let's gather in prayer triads and let's do that. Then we come back together, we look at more scripture. You know, this speaks to us this way. And it doesn't become a message. You know, it always used to drive me crazy when I was younger, while I was in college. You know, I would go to prayer meeting on Wednesday night at church, and prayer meeting on Wednesday night at church ended up being the pastor speaking for 55 minutes and saying, oh, we're almost out of time. Let's have our prayer time before we go. And 2 or 3 minutes of prayer. And like, that's prayer meeting? No, that was another sermon is what that was. You know, and so, you know, it's, you know, these kinds of things are not scripture than a devotional message, but it is a 1 or 2 minute thought. You know, this is how this scripture guides us. So let's do popcorn prayer this time. You know, brother so-and-so, you start, and if you feel led to pray out loud, pray, or pray silently, and then I'll close the prayer time. Then we move on to another passage. And those kinds of prayer meetings really, really encourage my spirit. And I just love, you know, being able to go to those at my home church and being able to be a part of that.
If I could hit one more little soapbox here, is something I have grown by God's grace to be more aware of, is praying Trinitarian. Praying to the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. And in doing that, I have found both, especially in my private prayer time, that I am more humbled when I acknowledge the Father. And I think about him sending his Son, and then I begin to rejoice and delight in the Son, the second person of the Trinity. And then thirdly, I'm more aware of, I need the Spirit. I need the Spirit's help. And I begin to pray back the promises of God. This is not a legalistic thing. It's a biblical thing to pray to the Father in the Son by the Spirit. We were taught that in the Word. So I just want to keep emphasizing that, like, that should be a part of our prayer time, to be more mindful of our infinite, holy, triune God. And watch what it will do. Just try it, brothers. Try to implement that deliberately in your prayer time, to be more mindful of how our God has revealed himself. It's for our good in the scriptures. It's for our good in prayer time. One more question, guys. Can you recall times when your heart was not right and your prayer life was hindered? Can you give us some examples? We'll start with maybe you, Brian.
Yeah, I almost fell out of my pew over there when Brian was sharing the illustration about, you know, conflict with your wife on Sunday morning. And by God's grace, this hasn't happened in a number of years to me, but it seems like the devil does rejoice to see a pastor and his wife have some conflict on Sunday morning. And I remember one particular Sunday morning, I don't remember what we were fighting about. It was insignificant, but we got in some argument about something. I was, you know, and of course I thought I was right, and she probably was right. But I just, you know, and I usually leave, I leave the house sometimes a couple of hours before my wife does, because I've got things I have to take care of, in setting up to, you know, setting up Sunday morning to get it ready. And just being, and then realizing, you know, and you plan on preaching today, you know, and then here you are thinking this, you know, about your wife. And have you ever read your Bible, Brian? And I'm very well aware of what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, and just, you know, having to get right with my wife, you know, and calling her on the phone because she's still at home and saying, you know, sweetheart, I need you to forgive me. I was a horse's backside on that, and I was wrong, and I need your forgiveness, because, yeah, just, wow. So yeah, I almost fell out of my pew when you said that. I was like, yeah, that's me.
He's reading your mail. He was reading my mail.
Your question was a time or times. I mean, for me, it's like times, and it's, I'm really not kidding. It's almost every morning, like when I wake up, my heart is not right with the Lord, because my heart immediately goes to all of the things I have to do today. So Mary, Martha, yeah, I'm not the one that just goes and sits at Jesus' feet. I'm the one that wants to go get things done. And you combine that with my pride, and that turns into prayerlessness almost immediately, or a temptation to be prayerless. Because what I'm thinking is, well, you know, there's so many things that need to be done. I need to go do X, Y, and Z, or else it's all going to fall apart, which is just, it's pride. It's a desire to be in control. It's, you know, forgetting that I'm not God. So that's, if it's not every day, it's a lot of days where that's the struggle. So it's, I had to look this up because I'm like, did he actually say that? That quote from Luther, except it probably wasn't actually from Luther, you know. I have so many things to do today, I must start by praying for 3 hours. That might be a bit excessive. I have a job, but like the idea is correct. I need to go to the Lord first thing to remind myself of who I am and who he is and what's really important today.
Yeah, this will be hard to confess to all you guys, but I need to do it because I say I've been in ministry 38 years, but I probably should say I've been in ministry 36 and a half years because I had an 18-month period back in 2012 to 2013 where I'm not sure how much ministry I was doing because I literally detested a guy who was working on my staff. And yeah, I'm not so sure that I was doing much praying during that 18-month period, and what praying I did was perfunctory. You know, I probably performed it as the pastor of the church. I preached during that time, and I can look back on that now, and I can say, you know, I bet those messages were good, sarcastically. You know, but, yeah, when, like you were saying today, when we're not right with people, we're not right with God. And I had this guy on my staff, and, you know, we should have fired him after 18 months. There was spiritual abuse. There was all kinds of issues that were going on. But I was like, you know, hey, we can work with this guy. We can mentor him. We can bring him along. And so I had two other brothers working with me, and we would make two steps forward. Then we would go three steps back. And after 18 months of that, it reached a head. And we had to ask for his resignation. And in the midst of all that, I also had to do some serious heart examination And this didn't happen right away. This went on for a number of months afterwards when we were paying him a severance and he was lying about the church, and we lost 25, 30 people from the church as a result of it. And there, those things like that, it made my heart hard, you know, just being honest with you. I mean, you know, one of the happiest days of my life is when I found out he was moving out of state. He was leaving the area and he was moving out of state. I was happy to no end. And I had to do some serious heart check and say, am I happy because this is relieving some stress from my life? Or am I happy because he's finally moving on with his life? And, you know, maybe he can get back to serving the Lord. You know, there's a lot more to this story, but, you know, I had to do some genuine repentance, you know, and I had to reach out to him and I had to say, look, you know, we will probably never see eye to eye, but you're my brother in Christ. I wish you well, you know, as you move. You know, I pray God blesses you and your family. And I meant that. I was able to say that and mean that genuinely. And things kind of began to turn around. But that was a very dark 18-month period. And when that stuff's going on in your life, it's going to hinder your prayers. And I hope none of you ever have to go through anything like that. And if you go through it, I hope it's only 18 minutes, not 18 months.
Yeah, just being in a posture of forgiveness. There's no guarantee of reconciliation. Takes two, doesn't it? And sometimes it's good just to say we agree to disagree, but we're still brothers and sisters. And it'd be best for us to part ways on these things and love each other that way. Something that's also hinders, we daily sin. Sometimes we really blow it on a particular day. Sometimes we blow it so bad we need to let the church wait 30 minutes before we start the service. And one of the things I think that that also hinders our prayer life, because I'm with Chris, was it indulging that lustful thought a little longer? Was it hanging on to a little bit of bitterness? Was it, you know, that desire for the praise of men, or sinful self-comparison, all those things unchecked can hinder our prayer time. But, you know, what we need to do to encourage our prayer time out of that is to go back to the gospel. We were never righteous enough to approach the throne, as you said from the psalmist this morning, is to go back and lay hold of the promises of Christ in the cross. So Satan hates when we rehearse the gospel, that we recall John 3:16. And so going back to the cross not only helps set our hearts right about even troublesome people, because we're getting our own troubles dealt with, but it helps us be encouraged. Our Father is there with open arms to receive us. Like Brian says, the one who's coming and help, I can help that. I can work with that, the Lord says, saying to us. And so I just want to encourage you guys to go back to the cross. Don't clean yourself up. Go back to the cross. Turn to Jesus. And there's no shortage of sanitizer, as Brian reminded us this morning. Let's stop and pray. We'll take 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes, and reset everything, and so we can have our final sermon. Okay, let's pray. Father, it's only through your Son we've been made holy, and through the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit applied to our hearts and lives. And we pray, God, that we would be mindful of that, of your work in our lives, of your sovereign grace, of your redeeming love, of your sanctifying love. And encourage us to pray on account of those things, Lord. You didn't go and do all those things so that we would not pray, that we would be discouraged from prayer. No, Lord, those things remind us. The operations of the triune God remind us how good it is to pray, what a privilege it is to pray. And so, Lord, we pray that you would encourage us by your Spirit today to turn from our sins, those besetting sins, those bitternesses, Lord, those things that provoke us into sinful anger, and give them back to you, to lay ourselves before the cross and say, thank you that you didn't judge us, Lord, that you didn't condemn us, Lord, in our sins, that you have rescued us, redeemed us, given us new life. And, Lord, we pray that as we meditate on that, as we praise you for that in prayer, God, that you would work more and more transformation in our lives, sanctification. And then, Lord, through that encouragement, cause us to delight all the more in prayer, that hell would be aware of our churches and aware of these men who are in prayer and be afraid. Lord, be aware that, Lord, we are obeying your word, doing spiritual warfare on our knees in prayer, because you are our warrior. You are our victor. And, Lord, we are helpless and we are weak, but you have all power and authority, and you have never left your people. And we praise you for that. We pray you bless our remaining time together in the word, and encourage and strengthen Pastor Brian as he prepares now to preach again in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.